Please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. And reading from verse 45 to 46. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. This is, by the way, the last leg of Jesus' ministry going to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he is going to be arrested, he is going to be judged, and he is going to be crucified, and never again he will take that way. And looking at the text, we know from the gospel, the four gospels, that he has been teaching people for 3 years. For 3 years, Jesus has been teaching people about the real purpose of his coming, but also giving them the reality about his true identity. And we know, during the 3 years of his ministry on earth, Jesus healed many people, thousands of people. But the most common sickness Jesus healed, or blindness, was the most common sickness Jesus healed among the many sicknesses, because in that time people thought blindness was also a curse from God. But this is a reality, because we live nowadays in a doomed world. This world is under God's curse. That is the reality. So, looking at it again, it's interesting because here we found Jesus in his encounter with a blind man. So here is Jesus meeting a blind man, and he has initiated, he has made the first step, and he was determined to go through Jericho. And Jesus never went to a place just because it's a coincidence, it's nice to pass there, the weather is better there. No, everything he did was planned, and he was going through Jericho because this is the Lord's will for himself. So, looking at it, in his encounter with this blind man, this is actually a great miracle. It is so important that we find the same record in two other gospels, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20, and in Luke chapter 18. You find the same record with different details given here and there, just to make it also so profound. So, Jesus is healing the blind man. And, by the way, this healing in the Gospel of Mark is the last one in the Gospel of Mark Jesus did in his healing ministry. There will be his miracle, the resurrection miracle, but this is concerning healing. This will be the last miracle Jesus will do in the Gospel of Mark. And, by the way, before I even develop what I have in mind, we have to remember that every miracle Jesus did is a teaching of parable. So every miracle Jesus did was not just to perform a miracle in order to draw attention on himself being a healer, but the same thing he did in the physical, on the physical aspect, Jesus is doing the same on the spiritual aspect. So that's the parallel. So the focus is not really, did he heal a blind man, which was the reality, but it is an illustration. It gives us a picture how spiritual sight can be obtained, and it illustrates also Jesus' love towards sinners and his mighty compassion that he feels for us. He feels for sinners, and he came from heaven to make an atonement, reconciliation with God. All the prophets, All the prophets have done nothing in order to redeem our souls, because our souls have a price. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he dwelt in heaven, but because he loves sinners so much, he decided, this is his own plan, it was also his own initiative. He came to dwell among us, being born by a virgin, without sin, and being the only man in this world, being completely holy, perfect, 100%, without being tainted by the smallest sin, which can be seen only on a microscope, because he is God. And in God there is no sin. That's the relation and the way we have to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. So he came from heaven to make that reconciliation with God, to give us life, but also to give us hope. So looking at this healing, this miracle, there are 5 steps I would like to consider. But remember, just remembering again, oh, the physical health, the physical healing is a reality. But it should illustrate to us, it should give us a picture of the spiritual blessing, a picture of the spiritual healing, the way we can discover, we can have a spiritual insight about who we are and about the person of God. So here is the first one among the 5 I have in mind, the 5 steps to consider as we proceed. The first one is his hopeless and helpless condition. His hopeless and helpless condition. This is said to us in verse 46. And in verse 46, which I just read, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Bartimaeus is his name. Actually, it is translated for us in the text, son of Timaeus. It's like he doesn't have his own name. He's just the son of somebody called Timaeus. But it's interesting because when you read Jesus' healings through the New Testament, there are very few people Jesus healed which are named. One of them here, Bartimaeus. Another one is Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And maybe the third one is a demon-possessed man called Legion, because he was possessed by so many demons. So the importance is not really about his name, because Jesus healed so many people, we don't know their names. But here it is, we are given his name. But not only his name, but we are told 2 more things about Bartimaeus. Not only he's blind, but he is also a beggar. That's his hopeless and helpless condition. And by the way, let's move now from that physical aspect, blindness and being a beggar, to the spiritual aspect. This gives us the spiritual state of all mankind. Every person on this earth who has lived, who is living, and who will live, this is his spiritual condition. Blind, being a beggar. That's the spiritual parallel with us. We all suffer from inner and deep blindness. The natural man, says the scripture, receive not the things of God. Because without Christ, the light of the world, we are blind by birth. We are blind from birth about every spiritual truth. So we are kind of in a darkness. This is why, to give a title just as a reminder to my sermon, from darkness to light. So the Lord Jesus Christ came to take us. We lived in this blindness situation, lostness situation, and here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to remove us from that darkness. So from darkness to the wondrous and mighty light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like any blind man that time, we live in constant danger and always depending on other people. A blind man, even nowadays, even with all the technology, always depend on what other people can do to him. So this is the reality about Bartimaeus, always stumbling here and there, tossed to and fro, carried out and brainwashed by evil forces of all sorts. This is the kind of world we live into nowadays. So blindness, spiritual blindness, makes us to believe that there is no God, while In the life of every man, every woman, the inner part of every person, already God put his stamp that there is God. When you look at the natural movie, because nature is a panorama, is a movie, daily movie. Wake up in the morning, you look at the sun, you look at the stars, you look at your own life, you look at the moving here and there, people are moving here and there. In yourself, in your heart, in your mind, in your conscience. The conscience is the palace of God in the heart, in the life of every man. And you know within yourself, or you may deny it, but within yourself, you know there is God. You know there is God because God put that stamp in every man and in every man. And we have this conscience. The conscience, we try to suppress it, we try to put it down, we try to negate it, but day after day, the conscience will remind us there is God, that we didn't evolve, we are not just here by chance. Somebody, there is a designer who has designed this world. It's not just by chance that one day we will stand before our Creator. So that's the first thing which is said about Bartimaeus. He is a blind man, and we all live without Christ in the same parallel. It's our state, it's the state of all mankind. But his blindness make of him something else. Because he is blind, he became also a beggar. And that time, to be a beggar, it's to be a social outcast, relegated to begging on the sideway. So he depends on what other people say, what other people give him, or what other people do to him. This is his reality because he is a beggar. And all unconverted people, you check in your heart now, you check in your conscience, if you are a non-believer, what should I believe? What did the media said? What did the press said yesterday? What did BBC said yesterday? What did Professor so-and-so said yesterday or long time ago? So you always depend on what other people say because you live in spiritual blindness. But you like it or not, this is how the Bible presents your state and your status before the living God. Like him, we are just beggars, poor, blind, according to Revelation 3, verse 17. In fact, maybe I'm even softening it by saying that this is our spiritual state, because when you look at the scriptures, we are told that we are dead in trespasses and sin. And I'm saying this very respectfully, an unconverted person looks like a moving or a walking zombie. This is how God is looking at us. We are dead in our trespasses, and we must be judged if we stand before the living God. So Bartimaeus' physical condition pictures the spiritual condition of every man. But in fact, we are hopeless and helpless like him. You know, when you are blind, that spiritual blindness, people may give to Bartimaeus life necessities. But no matter how they can give him something, that will never change his condition. I can take an example from the Old Testament. There is a Syrian general, a general of army. He's called Naaman. He has a high status. He has popularity among people. He's the general of a big army and so on. He's well respected. But even though he has all material aspects into his life, he's a leper. So all life necessity, the goodies he can have, the riches he can have, the popularity he can have, the well-off, being well-off, everything he can have will never change his condition. So in your case and in my case, we may try different things. In my case, I tried religion. I tried religion. Oh, maybe by praying, by giving alms, by fasting and so on. Maybe that can help me. But there is that thirst, the thirst in the heart. There is that hunger in the heart, in the mind. Nothing can fulfill and fill that empty, that emptiness within the heart of every man. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why he came. He came that day to meet with Bartimaeus. So blind and beggar, this is the condition of Bartimaeus, but it is also our state. But the worst of all is the blindness of unbelief, that hostility against God. And as I mentioned earlier, Jesus came to help people to see the light and receive the things that really matter. He came to open the eyes of men and women to trust in him and to save them from spiritual blindness and lostness. And he took that initiative by going through the city of Jericho that day. So the first step we made, Bartimaeus' helpless and hopeless condition, is the status, is the condition of every man, every woman without the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at, there is hope. Maybe this was a bit gloomy. The first step was a bit gloomy, but there is hope. And the second step in verse 47 and 48, I called it his persistent cry. His persistent cry. And verse 47, 48, that day was a normal day. And as we may put it today, it was business as usual for blind Bartimaeus. Business as usual. But when he heard the hubbub, when he heard the hustle, when he heard the commotion of the crowd, oh yes, he couldn't see the crowd. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't even understand what was happening on, but he had possibility to cry out. And this is what he did. He was, and this is very important, Bartimaeus was not a fatalist. And I'm using this word because there are people in this world, they say, oh, this is my situation. I cannot change anything. This is how I was born. And God, in Islam, they call it maktub. It is written somewhere, this is how you will be all your life. You cannot change anything into your life. So fatalism. But Bartimaeus didn't believe in that. That day, he realized he shouldn't be content about that situation. He shouldn't be content that, oh yes, I was born like this, and I'm going to die this way. No, there must be a hope. There must be a possibility to change my condition. And that day was his day. So he was neither a fatalist nor content in his condition. But just imagine that day, Bartimaeus' excitement, his eagerness, his determination, when he heard the hubbub of the population, of the people passing by. When he heard them, he knew that was his day. Something great is going to happen for him that day. And even though the crowd tried to hush him up, he kept on crying for help, calling for the Lord from one end. This is where we can see his determination. He was calling on the Lord from one end to the city to the other end, all the time. And the city of Jericho was not a small city. It was a big city in the sense of crossing that city, but he persevered. He was determined to make himself be heard by the Lord. So, and you will agree with me that it was not easy to be heard, especially in a big crowd, and more as Jesus is moving, going towards the end of Jericho, because remember, he's going to Jerusalem, and more crowd there is. And believe me, the destitute that time didn't have a voice. But Bartimaeus was determined that day, so he could cry. But see how, this is bizarre. See how the crowd was so unhelpful. And many charge him, verse 48, and many charge him that he should hold his peace. Normally, if people really fear God and they were so loving, they should even open the crowd. Oh, come on, come on. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. You can meet it with him. But they were so unsympathetic. This is why, my friends, your family, your acquaintances, the people, will never be encouraging when you want to seek and find the Lord. Actually, just imagine, maybe somebody said to you, oh, but you were in the church this morning. Why are you going again there? What for? And this is exactly what is happening with Bartimaeus. Oh, the crowd, is people will be less than encouraging. But if we are really concerned about the state of our souls, nothing will stop us. His need was too great to let small things put him off. He rose like a spring. Oh, just picture him in your mind, sitting there. When he heard the Lord Jesus Christ calling him, he rose up as if he has springs in order to come and meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. He persevered. He was not intimidated. He was not embarrassed about what other people may think. Or it was not embarrassing for him to cry to get the Lord, to get the Lord's attention. If you want to be saved, you have to have the same determination. Oh, I say it, but I mean it also. Lord, I will not leave you until you bless me. That was his determination. So he was determined. And I don't know if you have the same idiom in English, but in French we say, without risk, you gain nothing. Whoever risks nothing, gains nothing. So that day, he said, I will risk it. I will go before the Lord. The Lord is calling me. I will answer. Who risks nothing, gains nothing. Oh, that's the second element, which is very clear about Bartimaeus. The first one, we saw his condition, hopeless and helpless. But second, his persistent cry, he kept on crying, he means it. And he meant it also. He was determined. But thirdly, we find his remarkable conviction, but also his public petition. It's in verse 47 and 48. So it's interesting when you look at the text. He believed before being healed. And this is in opposition with what we hear in this world nowadays. Oh, if he heals me, then I will believe in him. No. He believed before even being healed. But remember, we are talking about spiritual healing. What shall it profit to a man to gain the whole world, to gain the whole health, being healthy, while he will lose his soul? The soul is more important. And that soul is what he needs that day to be healed. And he stood before the Lord. So he believed before being healed. And look at his conviction, but also his public petition. How did he call the Lord Jesus Christ? How did he confess the Lord Jesus Christ? He confessed the Lord as the Son of David. And this is a prophetic and a messianic title. And it's interesting because it's not used many times in the Bible. You don't find many people calling the Lord Jesus Christ the Son of David. Actually, as far as I remember, or as far as I recall, there were only two instances where you find people calling the Lord Son of David. And one of them is said by a Syrophoenician woman for her daughter pleading with the Lord and saying to him, confessing him publicly and openly, you are the Son of David. But then the second instance, this is the third one with Bartimaeus himself, it was during Jesus' triumphal entrance in Jerusalem. And allow me to put it this way, maybe the crowd in Jerusalem heard that confession from Bartimaeus. It's just a possibility. Oh, how do they know? Oh, here is blind Bartimaeus. That day when Jesus was going through Jericho, how did he confess the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Son of David. And how did he know? Because long time ago, through the Old Testament, through many messianic psalms, it is prophesied that the Son of David one day will come. And when he comes, he will perform many miracles. And among the miracles he's going to perform, he will open the eyes of the blind people. So Bartimaeus may have heard that, even though he is blind, he could hear. He could hear about the prophecies. He could hear also that Jesus performed many healings. And here is his day. And as we find it somewhere else, we remember John the Baptist was doubting about the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent even messengers. When he sent messengers to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord said to those messengers, go and tell John the Baptist The blind receive their sight. This is in Matthew 11, verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the leper are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So this was said about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So now, hearing that Jesus was passing by, he realized, oh, this Jesus is not just a mortal, it's not just another teacher, but this is the Son of God. This is the Son of David, the one who was prophesied, because you remember from 2 Samuel chapter 7, God said to David, one of his sons is going to be on the throne forever. One of his descendants is going to be on the throne forever. And we know David is not forever. Solomon was not ruling forever. He was not the king forever, just for 40 years. But this son who will reign forever on the throne of David is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that because Jesus said it, and the whole Bible tells us also so. But it's interesting, how did the people thought about Jesus? For the people, who is Jesus Christ? Oh, they said, this is Jesus of Nazareth. You ask people nowadays, who is Jesus? Oh, he's a great example. He's a great prophet. He's a great teacher. The people, who is Jesus Christ? The people. The mass was there, many people. Who is Jesus Christ? He is Jesus of Nazareth. But how did he confess him? Did you notice that in verse 47 and 48? When he heard, twice actually this is mentioned, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And this is repeated again. He repeats it while the crowd is telling him, be quiet and hold your peace. Oh, verse 47, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Twice he repeated the same petition, the same confession, and the same determination also in order to be before the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all. He also confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as being Lord. Look at verse 51. The blind man said unto him, Lord. Oh, you know, there is a lot of speculation because the people say he said Rabboni. But that title also was said only by another person, Mary, when Jesus was raised from the dead. And I know a little bit of Arabic, and I know in Arabic, when you say, Ya Rabbi, it means God. So his confession is not just Jesus, a great teacher, a great healer, or a great example, but Jesus Christ, Son of David, but also Lord. So that is his confession, differently than what the crowd said. And he was not rebuked for his confession because it was true. So Jesus is greater than King David because, as we saw this morning, he is the King of Kings. So he confessed that this Jesus was not just a mortal or another teacher. Oh, friends, salvation is personal. He didn't say, Lord, have mercy on us. But he said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm the only one standing before God. And if God doesn't bestow, if God doesn't deploy that mercy on me, I'm going to be doomed. I'm going to be executed. No hope for me. But that day he said, Lord, have mercy on me. And this reminds me another confession said in Luke chapter 18 by the publican. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, a wretched sinner. And he was heard. He was heard that day. So that is true conversion. To think that salvation is personal, it is individual. But brothers and sisters, friends, if you are here for the first time, how did Bartimaeus starts his day? How did he start his day? He started his day by begging for something from people. From people. But how did he end his day? Asking mercy, something spiritual. So people may give him stuff. People may give him food. People may give him food. But that's not enough. Because the soul requires something better than stuff. The soul requires something better than money. The soul requires something better than instruction. The soul requires something better than education. Oh, the soul requires the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, again, Bartimaeus confessed. This is Bartimaeus' conclusion. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. Friends, true conversion is a reversal of the mind. If there is no change in the mind, in the heart, and in the will, there will never be conversion. So what did we say up till now? First thing, we saw his hopeless and helpless condition. This is Bartimaeus. His state is the state of you and me without Christ. We are blind. We are in spiritual blindness. And unless the scales fell from our eyes, we will never appreciate, we will never see the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. But second, he had a persistent cry. While people are telling him, be quiet. No, I won't. Because I need salvation. My soul is too important for small sins to make me keep my peace. He was determined. But thirdly, we saw his confession, his remarkable conviction and public petition. Fourthly, oh, we have also his wonderful call. This is again, if I can put it, this is very positive. There is something wonderful about it. His wonderful call is mentioned in verse 49 to 51. And this is important. Even if the crowd hides you, you are in a crowd now, even if the crowd hides you, Jesus can see you because he is omniscient, he is omnipotent, he sees everything, he knows everything, so you cannot hide. He hears our cry. Even if we are hidden by the crowd, he hears our cry. So the king is calling him, and the king is calling you also, and you must answer. So Christ called him, and he responded eagerly and exuberantly. He didn't waste time. Not even his garment, not even his coat will waste his time. Not even his garment will stand on the way. By the way, the garment needs an explanation. It's interesting because we read, but there is something important about his garment. His garment is a multi-purpose garment. Why? Because the garment was, if I may put it in your own words in this country, it was his disability living allowance. Because in that time, there is no state income. So it's multi-purpose because, first of all, it will protect him against the cold. This is very obvious. But secondly, when he's begging, by the way, he can put his coat on the floor. So when people are giving him coins, later he can put them together, not losing any one of them. This is also very obvious. But why that coat or garment is so important, it was given to him by the state as an official license to beg. So that coat, that garment, allows him to beg, and he is known officially as a beggar. But even more, a territory, a place was given to beggars that time. This is where you can beg. This is where you must stay. This is your territory. You cannot overpass it. So that time, Bartimaeus found himself on the way, by the wayside, and he was begging in that place. But when he got converted, and this is where I'm trying to lead you, to draw your attention, when he got converted, that confidence, that disability living allowance, that state income, that what made him be so proud that here it is, I have something given to me, he put it aside. Oh, There are so many things we should put aside when we come to the Lord. We have to put aside our pride. We have to put aside our education. We have to put aside our prowesses, things which we think, oh, the family blood, my passport, look at it, it's so great. The kind of things I have, the home where I live, don't you see, I'm so nice, I'm so wonderful. Oh, all those things which makes us special have to be put aside. And nothing should hinder us. All encumbrances, all hindrances, cast away that garment of self-righteousness. So this is what Bartimaeus did that day. And he was freed. He has never been the same from that time. Oh, but once the Lord called him, as we have said, he threw it aside and made his way in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that Jesus is far better than lifehood. It is far better than physical healing. Oh, my friend, I ask you again, what is your confidence? What do you cling to? Not coming, not wanting to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your education or whatever, leave it behind and put all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give way to new life. He wasted no time. He rose and threw his soul before the Lord. He believed that Christ was able. And do you see the result? When he believed that Christ is able to heal him, to give him new life, what was the result? Christ stopped. Christ stopped. There was a whole crowd. You see, again, we must picture the crowd was moving with the Lord. But here is a sinner calling the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than continuing to move with that crowd, even though he has maybe hundreds of people with him, he stopped for one soul. He stopped for one person. This is me. This can be you also. He stopped that day for me, a wretched sinner. And he said, you must come. And he even said to the crowd, call him. Get him to me. But it's interesting, even though he was blind, when the Lord called him, he didn't need the crowd to take him to the Lord. He stood up and he was able to be face to face before the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing grace. This is all by grace. There is nothing to boast about. Nothing we deserve. We deserve nothing. We deserve punishment. We deserve condemnation. We deserve judgment. But through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus stopped that day to deal with Bartimaeus. And fifthly, just before I come to conclusion, look at his instant cure. He was healed instantly, verse 51 and 52. There was more than physical healing, as I said. Jesus is pleased with faith. And in the question, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do? Oh, I'm sure you all agree that Jesus knows already. He knew what the blind man will answer. But remember, faith must express itself through prayer. So Jesus asked him so that Bartimaeus may also state his request. And Jesus said to him in verse 51, what do you want me to do? What did he answer? Oh, it's interesting. Just to read you what was his answer. He answered, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Let me put it translate it in other words. Actually, he said, Lord, that I may look up. That's the meaning. Not just the sight, the physical sight, but that day it's like he said, Lord, that from now on I will be able to look up. Did he look up? The first thing he did when immediately he was ill, the first person his eyes were able to see, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was healed instantly. And my time is over, and I have to come to conclusion. Oh, so often, Bartimaeus sat in that place. But that day was his day. Maybe many, many Sundays you came to this church. you sat in the same place, hearing the gospel of redeeming grace, Sunday after Sunday. But do you see what Bartimaeus did? He said, this is my day. I will not miss it. Upon hearing, he believes. And Bible says, faith comes by hearing and what we hear from the word of God. That was a promise. And what is the result which happened to Bartimaeus that day? You remember, before he came to Christ, where was he sitting? He was sitting by the sideway. But when he got converted, now he walked on the way. He walked on the way from an outsider to an insider. Before conversion, he sat. But after conversion, he is able to walk. To walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once for all. Oh, that's a great metamorphosis in his life. But also, once not converted, he was a blind man. Now, being converted, he can see. Once when he was not converted, he was a beggar. But now, he is a believer. Oh, Christ came to give that sight to poor beggar. And poor beggars like you and me, sinners, all sinners without the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can have the same access to Jesus as he did. You can imitate him and see with the eyes of faith. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, in closing, you know, Jesus never came back through Jericho anymore. That was the last time Bartimaeus had the opportunity to seize the person of Christ, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this is my day. I will not let it go. So he said, this is why we are told, seize the opportunity. Seek the Lord while he can be found. See the opportunity. Oh, may the Lord save a person tonight. May the Lord give opportunity, open in the same way the eyes of sinners. Then we can also say, like one blind man said it, there are many things he didn't know, but he said, oh, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then we can also say, no more a beggar, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, come to Christ, and your spiritual blindness will be removed forever. Let's pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of grace in this time. O Lord, help us, we pray. Look upon us and show us our eternal need. Show us our inadequacy and our great need of salvation. Give us a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ and convict us. Leave us not alone, we plead with you. Make us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his most wonderful name. Amen.